Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis. Rock and Rally Tennis podcast episode number 80 is brought to you by careerwonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries. Share in the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at careerwonder.com. Well, it's another Wimbledon in the books, and congratulations to Garbiñe Muguruza and Roger Federer. For Muguruza, it was her first Wimbledon title and second overall Grand Slam singles title. Federer won his record 8th Wimbledon crown and 19th overall Grand Slam singles title. Throughout the tournament, Muguruza was impressive, if not unspectacular, playing very solid and very steady tennis. She defended well and picked her moments to go on the offensive. She showed a steadiness and calm throughout the tournament that we have not seen in quite some time. Muguruza dropped only one set en route to the title, where she defeated Venus Williams in straight sets. For Muguruza, who beat Serena to win the 2016 French Open, the win over Venus makes her the first player to have beaten Serena and Venus in a Grand Slam final. All things considered, it should not be too surprising that Muguruza, the 2016 French Open champ and 2015 Wimbledon finalist, captured the title. However, since winning her first Grand Slam singles title 13 months ago at Roland Garros, Muguruza had struggled to find her form and consistency. In fact, prior to this Wimbledon, the last year's French Open final was the last final she had actually reached. And as the 14th seed, her victory underscores the unpredictability of the women's game right now. At only 23 years old, Muguruza's best tennis is in front of her. Given the changing of the guard atop the women's game right now, it's there for the taking. I mean, Muguruza, along with a handful of others, has a golden opportunity for the foreseeable future to add to her tally of major titles. As I discussed in previous podcasts, the question surrounding Muguruza is whether she can stay focused and motivated to be in that conversation as a legitimate favorite to win week in and week out. Perhaps this Wimbledon victory will open the floodgates for Muguruza moving forward. Time will tell. Quick shout out to Venus for reaching her second Grand Slam final in 2017. At age 37, the 7-time Grand Slam singles champion is playing some of her best tennis and shows no signs of slowing down. For Azarenka and Kvitova, both of whom recently returned to the tour, their respective Wimbledon runs ended a little sooner than they had hoped. However, it's great to have them back in the fold. Barring injury, I believe they will effectively brush the remaining rust off of their games by the time the US Open rolls around in a few weeks. For Roger Federer, it was a dominant performance at Wimbledon. The now 8-time Wimbledon champ did not drop a set in the tournament, and he sailed past Marin Cilic in the straight sets in the final. Federer looks like a genius for sitting out the clay season, including the French Open, to rest and prepare for Wimbledon. He now sets his sights on the US Open in a few weeks, where winning Grand Slam singles title number 20 will be there for the taking. Now, on this particular point regarding Federer's chase for 20, as I discussed in podcast episode number 72, I think there is a strong feeling that if he does get to number 20, it will likely leave no doubt as to who the greatest of all time is, regardless of what Nadal and Djokovic may do in the Grand Slams in the future. Nadal currently has 15 majors, and Djokovic has 12. Now, folks, 19 majors is already unfathomable. To get to 20 would be absolutely remarkable. Now, Federer has already said his decision to sit out this year's clay court season was a one-time deal, and that he plans to play the French Open next year. Now, I, for one, certainly hope he does. As I talked about in podcast 72, I believe his decision for skipping the French Open this year had a lot to do with how good he believes his chances were, or are, of winning Wimbledon and the US Open, and winning his 19th and 20th Grand Slam singles titles, respectively. And yes, it's now one down, one to go. At this point, with 19 majors, you will find little to no argument that Federer is the greatest of all time. But in the back of my mind, I can't help but think that if Nadal wins another Australian Open, which for him will complete a career Grand Slam twice over, a feat which Federer will need another French Open title to achieve, that Nadal will warrant serious consideration in that greatest of all time discussion when all is said and done, especially when considering Nadal's dominant 23-14 head-to-head record versus Federer. I think the next 12 to 18 months could have some surprises in store as it pertains to the majors, Consequently, the complexion of the greatest of all time discussion may be a bit more spirited a year from now. We'll see. But it's all good. It's been a tremendous privilege to witness this golden era of men's tennis over the past decade, and even more so to see it continuing strong this year. Regarding Murray and Djokovic, who both came into Wimbledon looking to regain top form, I thought they both played well and displayed better form, despite not being 100% healthy. Murray came into Wimbledon with a sore hip, and Djokovic had to retire from his quarterfinal match versus Berdych midway through the second set from an arm injury that he disclosed has been bothering him for the past year. Djokovic, in fact, may be forced to take some time off to heal this injury. This could turn out to be a positive in my view because it will provide him with an opportunity to fully recharge physically and mentally. For Nadal, he lost a grueling five-setter to hard-serving, hard-hitting lefty Gilles Muller in the fourth round. It was a tough loss for Nadal, and he battled back from being two sets down before losing 15-13 in the final set. As I discussed in my Wimbledon preview in podcast 78, I expected Nadal to get to the second week, but I did not think he had that good of a chance of winning a third Wimbledon title. You know, Nadal certainly has upped his serve and is hitting bigger and harder than ever. But for his particular style of play, I just felt that the slight decline in his agility and foot speed that we've seen over the past few years would be a lot to overcome on grass. I mean, a huge positive takeaway though for Nadal is that he's healthy, he's playing well, he's hitting and serving bigger than ever, and he's winning more quick points off of his serve. Now, if he can remain healthy and fresh going into the US Open later this summer, he will certainly be one of the favorites to win. Lastly, a quick shout out to Sam Querrey for reaching his first career Grand Slam semifinal, and for the second year in a row, knocking out the defending Wimbledon champion. Last year it was Djokovic in the third round, this year it was Murray in the quarterfinals. At 29 years of age, Querrey is playing some great tennis. I look forward to seeing how this all plays out the rest of the year. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.